Today's reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Well, good morning. My name is Les Mabry, and I'm one of the members here at Radio Baptist Church. I have to say this is something of a novel experience for me. Usually when I do this sort of thing, it's been in the main church, and I've been looking out over a congregation of happy, smiling faces. Well, most of them are happy and smiling, but let's not go down that road this morning. And yet here I am in the church lounge on a hot Friday morning with Stuart, who set this up, and the camera for company. But we'll give it a go and see how we get on. Today we're continuing our series entitled Empowered, on the person, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, we'll look at the passage that Janice read for us, focusing especially on the statement in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. But let's first get this passage into context. It's taken from a letter written by Paul. Paul, the great Christian teacher, missionary and church planter, when he wrote to Christians in a church that he'd founded in the city of Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey. The letter splits neatly into two halves. The first half covers the basics of the gospel and Christian belief. The second half deals with how those beliefs should shape the way that we live. It's about belief in action. And if what I believe doesn't impact on how I live, on my priorities, my attitudes and my behaviours, then what's the point of those beliefs? So that's the context in which this reading is set. And at the start of this second half of the letter, Paul says to his readers, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. So this part of the letter deals with how we put our beliefs into practice in order to live such a life worthy of that calling. Paul speaks first on Christian unity, then on Christian maturity, and then comes quite a long section in living the Christian life. And the verses that Janice read for us conclude that section. And it's here that we find our topic for today, in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. And we'll be looking briefly at three aspects of that. One, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Two, what difference would it make? What does it look like if my life is filled with the Spirit? And three, how then do I get it? How can I be filled with the Spirit? First then, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? There are those who would claim that this refers to a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life, in which gifts of the Spirit, such as speaking in tongues, interpretations, prophecies, and miraculous healings take place. And yet most commentators take the view that that is not what Paul is referring to here. Why? Well, because as we have seen, this statement is made in a passage which concludes the first part of a section on living as a Christian. And it seems that Paul is in effect saying, so this is how you get the power to live in that way. Now note that Paul contrasts being filled with the Spirit with getting drunk on wine. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. He's saying this to the Christians in Ephesus. They were living in a city that was known for its hedonistic lifestyle with plenty of debauchery. Now, that's not a word you hear a lot of today. So, shall we say, plenty of loose living going on all around them. And no doubt they'd taken part in some of that themselves before coming to Christ. And possibly they still were, because as we all know, old habits die hard. Now, Paul is not saying don't drink wine, but he is saying don't get drunk on wine. In other words, don't put yourself under its control, and by implication, under the control of any other negative influence. Instead, put yourself under the control of God's Holy Spirit. Let him guide, direct, and fill your life. And that same point is valid for us today. Am I going to allow negative influences to shape my life, be they alcohol, other substances, things that I watch, look at, or listen to, habits that I know are not good for me, or things like pride, arrogance, temper, jealousy, envy, and a myriad of other things, some of which might come into your mind even as we're talking about them? Or am I going to allow the Holy Spirit to shape my life in a positive way each and every day? Am I going to allow God to fill me with his Spirit and shape my priorities, my attitudes, my behaviours, or am I going to go my own way? The choice is mine. So that is what Paul is saying when he calls us to be filled with the Spirit. He's speaking about the power to live in a manner that is worthy of my calling as a Christian. Secondly, if I do allow God to fill me with his Spirit, what difference will it make? What would my life look like as a result? Well, probably the first and most obvious sign that I am filled with the Spirit is that my life displays the fruit of the Spirit, which Elizabeth spoke about last week. These are those characteristics of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, we've no need to elaborate on those because, as we've said, Elizabeth covered them last week. Simply to say, who wouldn't want a life characterized in that way? But then I suggest that those qualities are merely the first signs of a life that is filled with the Spirit. For such a life would also be committed to unity, a oneness and harmony with other believers. Earlier in his letter, Paul tells his readers, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And one way this will be displayed is, as he says in this passage, by speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. In other words, having our attitudes and our conversations founded on God's word and his truth, which will be evidence of the unity of the Spirit amongst us. And if I'm filled with the Spirit, my life will also be characterized by thankfulness. For Paul says we're not only to sing and make music in our heart to God, but we must always be giving thanks to him in the name of Jesus. How many people do you know who are always negative, grumbling and complaining, prophets of doom? How much better is it to spend time with those who display an attitude of gratitude? Now, we know that life is not always a bed of roses, and we know of some poor folk who are suffering appalling trials and tribulations even as we speak. In a letter to another church, Paul writes, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. So it seems to me that Paul is not saying be thankful for all circumstances, but he is saying be thankful in all circumstances. However desperate your situation might be, remember to thank God for what you can. Then the final quality Paul refers to here is submission. submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. As one commentator puts it, the picture here is of mutual deference and service to one another. Paul goes on in the letter to give some specific examples of what it means to submit in family and work life. But to help us understand what he means in the wider context, he himself explains further in another of his letters, where he says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." So these then are the primary hallmarks of a spirit-filled life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, unity with our fellow believers, thankfulness, and submission to one another. A tall order? Impossible even? Humanly speaking, yes. But it's precisely because we can't achieve that in our own strength that we need to be filled with the Spirit. Which brings us to our third point. How does that happen? How can I be filled with the Spirit? Well, the first thing we have to be absolutely clear on is that this letter is addressed to Christians. It begins from Paul to the saints in Ephesus. Saints is used here in its true Bible sense of those who belong to God. And he goes on to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So this letter is to Christians. And everything Paul says in it, including being filled with the Spirit, applies to Christians. So that's our starting point. When I become a Christian, I receive the Holy Spirit into my life. And I can only be filled with him if he is already present within me. Now, if that isn't true for you, or if you're not sure, can I encourage you to revisit our online service for the 12th of July, in which Paul Wheeler sets out very clearly how to take that step of faith and become a follower of Jesus. You can do that by going to our website and following the link to Talks. But once we have taken that step of faith, if we truly desire to be filled with the Spirit, we have only to ask. Remember Jesus' words? "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." We can be confident about asking because our request is clearly in line with Scripture, which tells us, be filled with the Spirit. No ifs, buts, or maybes. But if that request is to be fulfilled, I have to play my part. I have to cooperate with the Spirit. I still have a choice. Now, an illustration here might help. I'm afraid it's not a very good one, but it's the best I could come up with. When my car needs fuel, no matter how much I desire it, it doesn't just happen. I have to play my part by taking it to the filling station, putting the fuel into the tank, and of course paying for it. The car doesn't fill itself simply because I want it to. I have to play my part. Now, I'm not suggesting in any way that filling my car is anything like being filled with the Spirit. But as with the car, if I desire that filling and I ask God for it, I still have a part to play. First, I have to confess and repent of sin in my life. Then I have to maintain a close walk with God through reading his word, the Bible, and regularly communicating with him in prayer. And equally important, I mustn't get in the way of the Spirit as he does his work in me. What do I mean by that? Well, it's no good expecting my life to be filled with thankfulness if I choose continually to moan and groan and grumble and complain about everything. I have to cultivate that attitude of gratitude that we mentioned earlier. Or, how can I demonstrate unity with my fellow believers if I'm not prepared to forgive, if I gossip, or if I'm envious or jealous of others? I'm sure you get the point. I have to be open to allowing the Spirit to develop those various qualities in me. Yes, God will fill me with His Spirit if I truly desire it, but how I play my part is a measure of how strong that desire really is, how serious about it I really am. And one final point, just to return to my very imperfect illustration of the car, I have to regularly refill it. And scholars of New Testament Greek, who are far cleverer than I am when it comes to this sort of thing, tell me that in calling for us to be filled with the Spirit, Paul is writing in the present continuous tense, which for you and me means he is saying, go on being filled with the Spirit. In other words, just like my car, it is not a one-off filling. It is something we need to come back to God for again and again and again. And every time I do, if I truly desire it and I'm prepared to play my part, He will be delighted to grant my request. And so I have a choice. Am I going to carry on doing my best to live for God in my own strength? Or am I going to allow Him to fill me with His Spirit so He can do His best in me? That's the reality of the choice facing each one of us this morning. May God help us to choose wisely for our own sakes and for His glory. Amen.